it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is truly just such a grind to get any yards, and it's like it is just so frustrating to watch. And so when you finally have that drive going, man, you cannot have, you know, last week it was the crucial holding penalty or a false start penalty. This week it was the Kelce interception. I basically, it's not a Mahomes interception as far as I'm concerned. It's a Kelce interception that you have. You just cannot overcome that. When they were down with 7 or 8 minutes to go, you know, a couple of years ago, you would have said, oh, plenty of time. Mahomes magic, all that. Now you're at a point where you know the game is over with the way this offense is currently constructed. Now, it's not the finished product. I know you said you're tired of hearing they're close, and I'm with you. I get it.
They've been saying that for a long time.
I understand that, but they're down their number one and number two options. So acting like it's the same thing right now, I would disagree with that. Let's see what it looks like at that point in time. But you still aren't going to have either of those guys for a couple more weeks. Maybe you get Worthy back on Sunday against the Giants, but you're not having both of them until middle or late October due to the suspension. So this is what it is, and you were hoping to see a better offensive adjustment, and it didn't exist. The running game was non-existent again, and their seemingly more successful runner right now is Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and I didn't even like the way he ran in the first game. And some of that could come back to the offensive line. I don't think there's just like some large gaps in space that is making it super easy to navigate outside of that. But yeah, I mean, offensively, it's like, you know what? A lot of it is last year they were clearly good enough or in a position enough that they could flounder a little bit in some of these games against playoff teams and it not affect them. This year they can't. They can't mess around with these playoff teams and make more mistakes than the other. Because the truth is, they win that football game if they don't throw the interception. Because, and again, I don't think that one's on Travis or on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I know he took some heat for it after the game. He said, oh, if I put it more in his body, whatever. Like, it hit his hands. He has to be caught. No, I don't care if his head was coming around. Like, I don't care. That ball has to be caught. That one's on Travis. But a lot of it is just they can't afford those minor mistakes and to recover. And so they're stuck in the spot. And look, it's like I would put these on two different meters. If I asked you, Gold, panic meter and concern meter, to me, those are different. Panic is like, I'm worried they're not making the playoffs. This team's falling off a cliff. That meter is still relatively low for me. It's like a 3. Concern meter for some of the issues they're showing is in the pass rush is still having issues. They're not running the ball well. They do not have the horses right now on offense in order to have a functional offense regularly. And one of the biggest things I have in the concern meter is Andy stopped creating or is done trying to create until he has his weapons. This offense looks identical to last year's offense, which I also didn't enjoy. It doesn't look like a bad version of a different offense. It looks identical to the way you tried to win on offense last year. And at this point in Andy Reid's career, that's the antithesis of what he has been as a head coach. So that part is like weird to me. Why haven't you?
Yeah, they haven't been able to scheme anything up. Now I'll say it for the third time already. We're only 9 minutes in the show. They're down Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. This is what the offense is when you don't have two of your top playmakers and your tight end, who is supposed to be maybe your third best playmaker, is hurting you more than helping you. I understand he had a touchdown last week. That was a play that actually they did scheme up pretty nicely to get Travis Kelce wide open a week ago. But yeah, this is where they're at as an offense. And it's weird you were asking, you know, the panic and concern meter, because last week I said I was more concerned about the defense coming out of the game than the offense. You can call me crazy after an 0-2 start. I feel better today about the football team long term than I did a week ago because I saw improvement from the defense.
Oh, you saw a unit improve? Yeah.
Last week I told you defensively that was my number one concern because the offense we know is going to be, frankly, bad until Rice and Worthy come back to see if they can improve. The offense is not going to really get much better until they have both those guys available. That's just the reality as far as I'm concerned. But could the defense improve enough to help out the offense? The defense did their job yesterday. Defense did their job. Mm-hmm. They gave them a chance to win the football game. Jalen Hurts had 101 yards passing. Saquon had 88 yards or so, but he didn't break off a big 30. He didn't break off a big 30-yard gut-wrenching run or anything like that. You know, Devonta Smith had a great catch against McDuffie, but it still took him going back on an underthrown football and making a one-handed grab, essentially.
And by the way, you got the matchup you wanted in that. So Bags, sit the house, and you got a one-on-one with your best corner. That's, you'll take that every time.
So, yeah, they have to start winning football games, and they have to have zero margin. They have to have zero errors on offense because there is no margin of error there. But defensively, I actually think they made some improvement. We'll talk about still the unfortunate reality, which is unless Spags is on it, dialing up blitzes, they can't get pressure. In this game, they were able to do it with blitzes, and so Jalen Hurts was getting the ball out so quick, the quickest in his NFL career, as a matter of fact. So you weren't asking your secondary guys to be out on an island all that long.
There was a couple times you said back, the coverage was great.
And that plan worked. So I feel better about the defense. I feel worse about the running back group than I ever have. Offensively, though, I don't feel any worse because this is what the offense is going to be until Rice and Worthy are back.
Look, there's a chance, and we can talk more about Worthy as the week goes on. There's a pretty decent chance, I think, that Xavier Worthy will be back on the field this week. And if it looks like he's practicing a bunch, we'll talk about his potential impact. I'm to understand that Worthy was expecting a pretty good chance to play on Sunday. Unfortunately, because the Chiefs wanted to take it a week with the injury, he didn't. Which means I think there's a really good chance he's playing for the Chiefs on Sunday, a player that they desperately need.
Yeah.
Look, you can take the small things out of it. Maybe once they have some other guys to throw to, the Tyquan Thornton deep ball is a thing that sticks around from this version of the offense. What has been surprising to me in this 0-2 start, before we talk about the story that eventually became a big story in the Tush Push, the thing that has surprised me the most, though, Gold, is the lack of composure for one of the greatest dynasties in NFL history. Jones is losing it on the sideline or yelling at Hurts at the end of the game, and we can get to that later. Kelce, after they score a touchdown, is saying, I'm sick of this S. Like, it seems like a team lacking a certain amount of composure out of their stars or accountability. I think it's kind of lame when you're not available to talk after the game for stuff like this. But it's like, it seems like they're showing some cracks emotionally, which is weird because this team has been through the gauntlet a bunch. And maybe just one win cures that ill. And if they beat the Giants on Sunday, emotions will stabilize and they'll have a little bounce. They do seem a little out of control emotionally, which is surprising to me because, again, this is a team that has seen everything, seen it all, been through it all. So they shouldn't be showing signs of like that, I guess, considering where they are.
Kelce in particular, you know, I know we saw it in the Super Bowl 2 years ago when they won that Super Bowl. Obviously, that was the whole like shoving Andy thing or whatever. Yeah. And that obviously they won, so it never became anything because they won the football game. You know how this stuff goes, Cody. If you win the games and stuff like that happens, nobody cares. Not a
probably
big deal.
Don't even talk about that, Travis Kelce.
But when you lose games, that stuff stands out far more and you start to question it a little bit. I don't think even with the sideline reaction that Kelce had and Chris Jones towards the end of the game, I don't think there are players in there, at least the ones that we're talking about here, vets. I don't think they're panicking. I don't know if that's what you were like alluding to. I don't think they're panicking, but the frustration, it's very evident. They're wearing the frustration quite a bit,
outward.
Right?
Showing it.
Yeah, that has definitely happened. I don't think it's panic as much as it is clearly frustration has set in there. And look, you're an 0-2 football team. As we say, it's uncharted territory. A lot of those guys, everybody.
Maybe was Christians around at 14? I don't think so.
Is he the only
one? 11 years ago. Travis Kelce might be the only one who was around.
That's it.
For an 0-2 start.
Andy Reid, Kelce, and that End is
of, James
it.
Winchester.
Is he even part of that? I'm going alluding to who else has been part of an 0-2 start. Even.
The only other possible answer.
It's kind of crazy.
Hold on, I want to look up now if James Winchester.
I'll let you look that up.
Let James Winchester talk to the team this year about how they overcame that 0-2 start.
I'll let you
made
look that
the playoffs. Yes, he was on.
Okay.
Oh no, missed it by a year. Sorry.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.